Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Well, tonight we're taking a little break, actually, from our Moses study, and I'm going to go on a little different path tonight. It's been on my heart very much since I had the God encounter, which I'm going to go over for a little bit tonight. But I want to read a text from Ephesians 6 and 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness in high places." And I need to tell you that the Greek "in high places" means high ranking. We're wrestling not just people who are sitting up high, in high ranking demonic forces. And that's what we're wrestling against. You're not wrestling really against your spouse or your children or your neighbors or, you know, anybody, but the enemy is the enemy. And he'd like to tell you that someone else is the enemy, but that's really not the case at all. He's behind it all. So recently I shared with you about a God encounter that I had. And I want to begin by saying this. I did not encounter God. God encountered me. And often that's the way that it is. I always tell people, people will come to me and they'll say in counseling, "Pastor Pam, I'm not hearing from God." And my first question is God hearing much from you these days? And that's kind of how it is. And so God encountered me at a low time in my life, I'll just say that. And when I say that God speaks to me, I mean to my spirit, spirit to spirit. I have never heard the audible voice of God. Frida, you have. I know people who absolutely have, and that can be verified, but I absolutely am not one who's ever heard the audible voice of God, but I continually hear from God. God continually speaks to me. And I did not want to talk to God that day because I was feeling pretty low and pretty unhappy. And I respect, and I've always been taught to respect and honor God. And what I was thinking, I didn't feel was respectful. I'd been taught that, you know, and I'll say this, a lot of parents will answer their kids when their kids ask them a question. They'll say, "Because I'm the dad, because I'm the mom." That is so dishonoring even to your children. Do you know what? They deserve an answer too. You know, that's a bully answer. That's a cop out. You know what? Give the correct answer. Don't cop out and say, "Just because I'm who I am." So I felt like that I was taught to respect God and honor God, and I do. And that we just shouldn't question God about anything. And let me tell you, that's wrong theology. Who told you you shouldn't question God? How about Mary in the Bible who said, "How's this going to be?" God didn't strike her dead. How about Moses who said, "What shall I tell the people? Who shall I say? What's your name, God?" You know, any good father, my father was a wonderful father, Pastor Ken and I, we had a wonderful father. I didn't have any problem asking him a question. And guess what? He never one time said, "Because I'm the dad." He gave us correct and reasonable answers. And that's our God. That's how our God does. And as long as you respect him, you can ask any question. So I heard God say that to me. "I want you to talk to me. I want you to tell me what's on your heart." And I'm like, "No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't want to hear what's on my heart because it's not pretty. It's really ugly." And for the first time in my life, in a long, long time, I have some questions. And, you know, I fear and I honor God. That's why I've always thought that way. But I had a fear of phobos. There's two different words for fear. And one is phobos. One is honor and respect. We should fear the Lord. And another is the word phobos, where phobia and all kinds of other fears come from. And that's the kind of fear I had about really questioning and talking to God. And you should not have that kind of fear about God, that he's going to hurt you or something's going to go wrong. God will listen to any question. And I heard God say, "I'm not going to be mad." So I started asking God, "Okay, God, if that's the case, then why have I been through everything I've been through? Why all the rejections, the betrayal, the pain, the struggle? Why I've trusted you. I've done what's right in the worst situations. No reprieve, God. No no reply, no reprieve. I just kept talking to God. Why me? Where were you? Why didn't you help? Why didn't you do something? Why didn't you say something? And as clearly as I've ever heard anything, I heard God say, and I was so touched by what he said, we're all here, the Father God, the Son God, the Holy Spirit God, and I'm listening to your heart, and I know that life has been hard on you, and you've been through some hard times, but you're stronger than you think you are, and I did not cause this stuff. I had no part in causing this stuff, but I was there all the time, and I was near, but I shared this a few weeks back, and here's what he told me. He said, it's not what you need to know and what you don't understand is two things. I was always with you and you're stronger than you think. And you need to know that I did not just stand by and do nothing. That situation, that hard situation that you went through was really much worse, but I was working behind the scenes pushing back the worst of it. I pushed back things you had no idea. You were able to take what you did because I was pushing back the rest. But you did not experience the worst of the worst, the worst of the attack. You know, we can be so quick to say, but this happened and that happened. And have you ever done that and then found out somebody else, something worse happened to them? That's what I'm talking about. It could have been worse. You would, and God told me there's so many things you never had to deal with because I took care of them behind the scenes. And I was fighting for you and I was fighting with you. That's how you made it to this day. And it helped me and it comforted me just to talk to God. And I want to tell you something. Since that day, since that afternoon, that Sunday afternoon, my whole communication with God has completely changed. I don't talk to God like he's some far God, some God who could cause me harm if I just step the wrong way. I talk to him respectfully, but I tell him what's on my heart. Real. But I know that we've had questions is where I'm going with this tonight. Have you ever wondered exactly why is the attack so hard and the enemy attacking me from every direction? And why is it that evil people seem to prosper and they seem to live comfortable and blessed lives? And I've walked through hell 7 times this year, maybe this week, and everybody else that doesn't serve God seems comfortable. I tithe and everybody else has got a yacht and not me. Those are questions, and God's okay with questions. And here's part of why the attack. You're thinking you're not much. You're not much in the kingdom of God. You're thinking that you're not a threat to the enemy. But then why does he attack? The reality is you are a very real threat to the enemy, and God has never promised us to be happy all the time and float in a pool. And he's promised to make us not happy but holy. But the forces of hell do care what you do. You know, Frida could say, I'm just a school teacher. Tony could say, I'm a mechanic. Are you serious? Are you telling me that Satan feels threatened by someone who fixes cars and someone who teaches school? Tony, who comes up here and brings some music and worship, are you telling me that he's a yes. Yes, you are, Tony. You're a threat. And you didn't get that memo, but you are. And let me say something, though, so we're not discouraged, it may surprise you. You are a greater threat to the enemy than he ever will be to you. We've got it backwards. We felt like he's out there lurking. He should be there out there. And he wants to get to you before you get to him. I was sharing with a couple girls last night, the enemy attacks you not because of something, well, I did this and the enemy came after me. He attacks you because that's what he does and who he is. He's a liar, he's a thief, he's a deceiver, and he will attack anyone. He's no respecter of persons. Thank God. God is not either. It's not because of something you've done. It's because of who you belong to. It's because whose you are. And let me tell you something. Where you see yourself as weak, he sees you as mighty and strong, and he sees something else in you. He sees potential in you. Now, let me tell you this. If you're not serving God, if you're here tonight, and I know everybody pretty much probably is, but if you're not serving God, if you feel like you're the weakest person that could be, if you've been in sin, if you've never done anything in the kingdom of God, you are a threat to the kingdom of darkness, and he knows it, and here's why. Not only do you have potential that he can see potential, he knows that at any time, I mean any time, you could make a decision to rise up and be who God's called you to be in the kingdom of God. And he doesn't want to take that chance. And so he watches you and he sees anytime they are rising up. But I was sharing the encounter I had with God, that God encountered me, because God put on my heart another man in the Bible that he encountered too, that felt like he was weak. So we're going to go to Judges 6 and 11. And the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak at Ophrah, and that belonged to Joash the Abizite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to protect it from the Midianites. He's a protector. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." This is the funny part. Here's Gideon. "Excuse me, pardon me, my Lord." He's got good manners. I got to give Gideon credit where credit is good manners. "Pardon me, Lord." So sweet. "But if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us?" We've asked the question. If God is really for me, if God is with me, then come on, come on. Why has this happened? Why have I been to hell 7 times this year? Where are his wonders? Where's the miracles? Come on, God, where's the miracles? Where's the miracles? That's what Gideon is saying. Our ancestors told us there was miracles and such. And about when they said, "Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? You delivered our ancestors. You showed them wonderful, wonderful miracles. And here we are. Here we are, God. If you are really with us, I know you were with them." And here's what he said. "But now the Lord has abandoned us and surrenders us into the hand of the Midianites." Excuse me, Gideon? Okay, it's at that point I would say, you shouldn't be talking to God like that. That's not how I was taught. I was taught to be respectful to God. And here you are. But you know what? God loves us and he can handle our questions, even our why questions. And remember, he's talking about, but the Lord has abandoned us, and he's talking to the Lord and does not know it. And the reason we know it, again, I'm going to teach it again, the angel of the Lord is the Lord himself. Whenever you see the angel of the Lord, it means the angel who is the Lord, Elohim. So this is the Lord who has encountered. Now, if you see an angel of the Lord in the Bible, that's a created being. But when you see the angel of the Lord, that's him. That's God. And so he's talking to God and telling God, "You've abandoned us." And here's the thing. The angel of the Lord, God, said, "I'm with you." And Gideon said, "No, you're not. You abandon us." And so which is it? Which is it? It's that God is with us. And he wants to know why we aren't seeing miracles. He wants to know how come those things happened to them and they haven't happened to us. Then he accuses the Lord and tells the Lord that you have basically given us to the Midianites. Now, why is it that when bad things happen, we blame the Lord instead of the Midianites who actually came after him? God never came after him to hurt him. The Midianites came after him. So let's not blame God. So the Bible says the angel of the Lord, God, and he's being pretty strong with God, in my opinion, but God calls him something. He calls him a mighty warrior. Gideon doesn't see himself as a mighty warrior. He looks in the mirror, and he sees something else. He sees a little weak man. He sees a little man who has very little potential at all. And God tells him, "Go save Israel. Am I not sending you?" So here's Gideon. Again, he says, good manners always throughout the whole thing. He's accusing God. I find this very humorous, because you are accusing God. You've left us. You've abandoned us. He goes, excuse me. I have another question. You've abandoned us. I have another question. And Gideon replied, "But how can I save Israel?" Now, here it is. It's okay to question God, because my family, my crazy, dysfunctional, insane family, is the weakest, the most screwed up, messed up in Manasseh. And I am the least of all of these messed up people. And you're telling me that I'm going to save a nation, Israel, a people. Now, here's the thing. Maybe Gideon isn't lying at all. Maybe we do come from that kind of family. Maybe you and I come from that family. Maybe we could say that. Maybe I am not qualified. But God calls the qualified, qualifies the called. He doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Maybe I was chosen least likely in school. Maybe I was never chosen for a team in my whole life. God still chose me for his team. God still has chosen you to do great things. And someone knows it. The enemy knows it. He knows it. He knows more. That's pretty sad. 6:16, the Lord answered. Here's God's response to Gideon, you know, and his dysfunctional family. The Lord answered, I'll be with you and you'll strike down the enemies. Not one of them will remain alive. Do you know that God, I find in his word, is consistent throughout his word, that when you're questioning God, his standard answer is, I am with you. I will be with you. I am near. I am here. And he says, not one will remain alive. Do you know that hit my heart too? Did you know that God can get rid of all your enemies? And when I say enemies, I mean all your enemies. Fear, addictions, discouragement, all the things that would come against you, and all physical enemies. God will deal with your enemies. You don't have to deal with them. You wrestle in the spirit, in the word. Did you know that God will silence your accusers? He will silence your accusers. He will vindicate you. I have had the strangest things happen in my life. I have had people come to me after, I was telling somebody not long ago, after 20 years and apologize. You know, so I've had things happen that were just because your character and your integrity will follow you. And if you do the right thing over a period of time, people will see that. The Holy Spirit will convict them. You will be vindicated. But don't try to do it yourself. Don't try to be your own defense attorney. You're not qualified. God is your defender. He's qualified. Do you know that he will cause your enemies to run away from you? Do you know that he will even cause the devil himself to run away from you? I was picturing myself one time praying and reading the word of God when this came to me, that the enemy will flee from you. And in my mind, I could just picture the enemy tying on tennis shoes and just taking off running, just running from you. Not running, you know, we think he's running toward us. He's running from us. He does not want to be too close into the proximity of someone hit like here tonight who is praising God and worshiping God and honoring God and speaking the word of God. And so you have to believe that the enemy will flee from you. You don't have to run from him. You can resist him. You can stand against him. And I'll repeat this story too, that years ago I had a relative who was telling me, you know, you're always talking about, you know, how the enemy, you'll rebuke him, you'll do this, you'll do that. You know, you don't fear the enemy. She said, you better be careful. You better be careful. I said, really? I can't trash talk him, but he can trash talk me? Excuse me? Excuse me? I am blood bought. I am covered by the blood. You know, what I have to say is I do resist you. No weapon formed against me. I'll speak what the word says. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Even a tongue that should rise up against me, it will be brought to shame. It will be shameful. And God told Gideon not what might happen. God told Gideon what will happen. This is what you will do. We need to start making declarations about ourselves. I can and I will defeat. I will win these battles in my life. I will defeat the enemy. And I love the story of Gideon because it takes a turn, and this is it's just a short encouragement. I love the story of Gideon because suddenly something, hope rises up in him, and suddenly the light comes on, and he has this revelation of who he's talking to, that he's talking to God. And Judges 6:18 says, please don't go away. He's talking to the Lord, until I come back and bring my offering and sit it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. And he realizes that this is God, and I want to give you something, God. God's given us so much, and he's acknowledging God, and it's a turning point in Gideon's life to bring the sacrifice. And he was wondering why all the bad had happened. He thought God had abandoned them, and he thought God had forsaken them, even just turned them over to the enemy. You're not going to help us, God. You're not going to do anything, God. You know what? God is always working on our behalf. He's always working behind the scenes. He does care about the battles we go through. He does understand about when they walk us into the fire and we're in the fire. But as I said before, even when Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego went into the fire, and people say God came into the fire, God never came into that fire. God was in that fire before they got there, or they would have been burned up like in 10 seconds. In 10 seconds, God went into the fire ahead of them. He was there waiting for them, or they never would have made it, because the others didn't have God in the fire, and they did not make it. You understand that. You know that God was in the lion's den with Daniel. Who else closed the mouths of the lions? And again, I want to say, if we do what we do, if we're consistent with God, God will do those things. I have always, the thoughts always come to me every time I read the story of Daniel, how his crime was prayer, that he would open the window and pray loudly where people could hear him. And he refused to do that. He could have closed that window and he could have prayed. Pray under your breath, pray to yourself, and he would have not got tossed into the lion's den. But he didn't want to take a step back. I will not be ashamed of the Lord my God. If I'm in a restaurant, it's okay. Dave and I hold hands in a restaurant and we'll pray. He doesn't care who's there. You know, and you know what? If there's ever a decree that says we can't hold hands in a restaurant and pray, then we're going to hold hands in a restaurant and pray. And because Daniel opened his mouth, opened the window and opened his mouth, God closed the mouths of the lions. If you'll open your mouth, God will close the mouths of the people around you. He will take care of that bite. He will take care of those wagging tongues. If you will open your mouth, like Frida said tonight, in praise and prayer, honoring God, he will close the mouth of the accuser. The enemy will flee from you. He is not the problem. So I want to say this, that God says that Gideon was going to do it. God says that he has a plan for you. It's a good plan to do great things. You are going to be successful. And, you know, here's the thing. God knows your past. He knows your family history. He knows every one of your weaknesses. You don't even have to tell him those things. Gideon didn't even have to say, I'm the weak and I'm from the weak family. If he was, God already knew that. And I want to tell you, God chooses the least to do what's great. He chooses the ordinary to do the extraordinary. And he knows all about your past. Still, he's called you. And people say, God has called you in spite of your past. I don't like that. I don't like that. I want to say God has called you because of your past. He's picked you out specifically. Oh, well, I guess I got to choose them in spite of their past. No. I choose you because you've went through hard times. I choose you because you have the right kind of compassion for somebody who's been in addiction. So I'm going to choose you to preach to the addicts. I choose you to lay hands on the sick because you're the one. I tell Wanda this. Sometimes if someone comes and says they have a battle for cancer, I'll get Alan over here, or I'll get Wanda, because they've been through a cancer battle. And I'll say, you're the one who has the compassion. You're the one who has the anointing for healing. You know, Alan and I taught a healing class for many years. And when he had that battle, after you're healed of something, you don't have the spirit of infirmity. You have the healing of sickness, healing of cancer. And I believe you speak to it. And so God chooses us because of what we've been through. He gives us grace to do what we're called to do. He can do so much with so little. And so here's the thing. Life doesn't begin when you were born. Your story doesn't begin when you were born. Your story begins when you say yes to God. That's when your story begins. God wants to write you into history. You break the word history down, it's his story. He wants to put you in his story and you to be a part of his story. And Gideon needed to stop making the lame excuses. And I would like to say that to us tonight in love. We need to stop telling God why we can't do this, or why we need to quit, or why we can't keep going on, why we're not the one for that assignment, why I don't want to call that person and talk to that person. If God has called you to it, he will bring you through it. And, you know, here's the thing. I have a situation in my life where God very, very specifically told me to do something. He told me to do something. He told me to write a card, write a letter, do something, and that he would do the rest. And he absolutely did. He did something wonderful in that situation. However, that situation got so bad even after that, that I wondered why. But you know what? Here's the thing with your story. It's not over. Your story's not over. You wouldn't be here tonight. It's not over. There's more to be written. God's got more to do because, you know what? He's working behind the scenes. He's doing some things. He's fixing some things for you. I say this prophetically tonight under the anointing. I feel it in my spirit. God's fixing some things. You tried to fix them and you couldn't fix them. You've tried and you've tried. It looked like they were fixed at times, but they weren't fixed. But God's fixing them. He's healing brokenness. He's doing restoration work behind the scenes where we can't see. And when life, you know, something I realized about the furnace, Nebuchadnezzar said he was heating it up seven or ten times. I can't even remember. I think it's seven times. Seven times hotter than it should have been. If they were going to just throw someone in, they would have it a certain temperature. But now they're going to heat it up seven times hotter. Again, seven is the number, you know, every day of the week. If the furnace is hot every day of the week, you're in it, you're in this same situation, this horrible situation every day, I want to tell you that God's already in that situation with you. And he's working behind the scenes, just like he told me, even when you feel like, where are you, God? I could use a little extra boost, a little help from heaven. I need to hear from you. And you know what was interesting? I was like, God, you know, I need to hear from you. And here's God saying, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. And I just felt so comfortable with that. But we do need some people to rise up in the kingdom of God. We do need to be obedient to God. And in every area of our lives, even when it's uncomfortable, and when you feel like you're going through something so hard and tough, and the fire is hotter, and when you feel like it's uncomfortable, because it will get uncomfortable, I want you to remember something. The cross. If it's uncomfortable, the situation you're in, I want you to think about the cross. That was uncomfortable. Very. And we need to rise up. We do not need any more kumbaya Christianity. We don't need comfortable Christianity. We don't need more blessings and blessings and blessings and give me more blessing sermons. We don't need that. God's already blessed us. And he will continue to do so. And we don't need, as our musicians come, as our worship team comes, Tony, we don't need any more silent Christians. It's time to speak up. I loved that Emmy, I'll close with this, last night, Emmy came and ministered to us. And when Emmy comes and ministers on Sunday night, she's always got testimonies to share from the job she does. And she works with DCFS, removing children from homes, from troubled homes, and sometimes has to take the police with her. Sometimes she's at risk, and the kids are already at risk. And she was telling us a story last night about a little boy and the miracle that God had worked around his life and just how he was so thankful, this little boy. Wasn't he nine, Emmy? 9 years old, and he said, you're the only one who ever cared. The only one who ever cared. And you know what I kept thinking as you were ministering? I'm so proud she came from here. I'm so proud she came from here that we care. Emmy represented us all. She represented her God. She continues. And may we do what she's doing. Help the least of the least. And she represents God. We should do the same. I just believe that God's going to use us all in such a great way this year, 2023. So I wanted to encourage you tonight and speak to God. Talk to God. Tell him everything. He's listening.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.